Good morning. Welcome to Zion this morning. We're glad you're here. There are competing interests out there, and some of you might have just slept in. Some of those who aren't here might have just slept in. I'm glad each one of you's here. I'm not used to doing this worship leading thing. It's been a long time. And so I worried about it for a few days and tried to make a script of what I was going to do. But actually, that all changed when I got here. And maybe that's the reason we gather each week to share in worship, because we contribute to one another. So I'm glad each one of you are here. If you're a visitor, we'd invite you to fill out the little visitor's card in the back of the bench in front of you. But that's not as important as you just being here and being with us. The words that I've prepared for this morning, I've forgotten most of them. We had a wonderful discussion in Sunday school this morning that took me different places. But it relates to what I had been thinking about in preparation. A focus for this morning, and with our guest speaker, Ray Keene from the Canby Center, is on God's generosity. And God is a generous God. There's enough, there's plenty for everyone in the world we live in, but it's not equally distributed. And if you think it should be, maybe you're a communist, I don't know, but God provided enough for all of us, and we have the opportunity to share. Are there any announcements this morning? If there are, come on up. Clyde has one.
I hadn't thought about God's generosity, but my announcement goes right with that. You know, about a year ago, we started thinking about purchasing an MDS Oregon unit trailer. It's become a reality, and the graphics are done. And this week, Jerry Barkman from Hope completed about two-thirds of the interior storage shelves and cabinets. He's got one more small cabinet to make for the front where the small tools go, and he thinks he'll get that done this coming week. In addition, I want to remind everyone who wants to be involved that we will have our Oregon Unit annual meeting next Saturday, March 17, from 10 to 2, and we will have the trailer there on display, so folks can see it. If you're interested in attending that meeting at Calvary, please let me know so we have enough food for everyone. It's amazing when we think about the generosity of this trailer that this church raised over $25,000 for this trailer. It's going to take another $6,000 or so, because the tool list that we've put together from MDS Central is about $25,000 in addition. So God's been very generous.
Thank you, Clyde. At this time, I'd like to invite you to join me in the call to worship. There it is. Who comes in the name of God? Step into the light and be known. People of God, God has heard your cries and is opening a way for you.
We are here through darkness and fear. We come into light this day by the power of God.
You are here and God is here. What will you do?
Together we will worship God.
Stand.
Please stand and turn in the blue hymnal to number 12. Number 12 in the blue hymnal.
Come, let us all unite to sing. God is love. Let heaven and earth their praises bring. God.
Please remain standing and turn to number 167. 167.
Steve.
Thanks, Stan, for leading those songs. Those are oldies. I remember singing those when I was just a little kid. During the Lenten season, we've been practicing. I had a practice of reading an Old Testament scripture and then a New Testament scripture that's related. And we'll do that again today. First from Numbers 21, verses 4 through 9. You may wonder what this has to do with generosity, this passage. But when I read the New Testament related passage, maybe that can become clear. This is from the Israelites' immigration period of history. They traveled from Mount Hor to the route, along the route to the Red Sea, to go around Edom. But the people grew impatient on the way. They spoke against God and against Moses and said, "Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? There's no bread, there's no water, and we detest this miserable food." Then the Lord sent venomous snakes among them, and they bit the people, and many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, "We sinned when we spoke against the Lord and against you. Pray that the Lord will take the snakes away from us." So Moses prayed for the people. The Lord said to Moses, "Make a snake and put it on a pole. Anyone who's bitten can look at it and live." So Moses made a bronze snake and put it on a pole. Then, when anyone was bitten by a snake and looked at the bronze snake, they lived. And during this Lenten season, we've also paused for a time of confession. And this has been prepared, this prayer of confession has been prepared for us. And I will take a time to just read it silently. If it fits you, you can join as we pray it together. I must say, it certainly fits me. Let's pray together. God of compassion and consequence, some days it is hard to face who we are. We like to be in control, to know where we're going. Relying on someone else, even you, is hard. We get impatient and find things to criticize. Some of us even like to complain. Glossing over past hardships is easier than admitting that we needed your help and still do. We don't want to say how our attitudes and actions make things worse. We are sorry. Forgive our ingratitude. Grant us courage to face the truth. And now from our New Testament reading, listen for God's generosity. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the man of God, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. God's generosity. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Stan, will you lead us in our theme song?
Well, Doug, I know for a fact you didn't sing this when you were a little boy. It's not been around too long. This has been a new song for our congregation. It's our theme song, and each week during Lent, we have been adding another verse. So hopefully it's becoming a little bit more familiar to you, as it is to me. Between me and you, and every creature, a covenant new, a gift, a promise I'm giving to you. I choose to be there with you. Between me and you, and generations to come after you, I have established a covenant true. I choose to be there with you. Between me and you, in all the times you are struggling through, I will never turn my back on you. I choose to be there with you. Between me and you, with pain and darkness clouding your view, I'll give you courage to face what is true. I choose to be there with you.
Okay, it's time to gather in our offerings, so we'd invite the ushers to come forward. Do you believe that there's enough to go around? That the world God created, he provided enough for all of us? The problem is distribution. And you get to participate in that today. Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful for the bounty we've experienced in the world you've created, and even more in the gift of salvation through your Son, Jesus. Our prayer is that you will bless these, our gifts, as we share them with others. In Jesus' name. Amen. One thing God has given us is kids. Come on up, kids. It's time for the story.
Good that there aren't very many of you this morning, because I didn't know how this was going to work if there were a whole bunch of kids. Yeah. Just squish closer. Come on, Levi. Come over here. Come on over here. That close. There you go. All right. Well, you guys ever make... You ever made a fort with a blanket? All right. Let's do it. Let's... put it over us. Okay? I've got this one, and we're going to put it over us so that we're underneath of it. That's nice, right? Yeah, now we're all in here. Mm-hmm. You can't see anybody, that's right. It's a little bit dark in here. We're all nice and secure, yeah. Mm-hmm, yeah. Okay. So it's nice to do this sometimes, isn't it? Make yourself a fort, get inside where it's kind of dark and can't see anything that's going on outside. Makes you feel kind of safe and stuff. But what's going on outside?
Birds.
Birds, yeah. But you can't see the birds in here, can you?
No. Mm-hmm. Well, I can see that light.
Yeah, you can see the light through there. We can't see it very good, can we? But we can see it through there. Yeah, crashing around a little bit, aren't we? Yeah.
There's a bear coming.
A bear coming? There could be. We have no idea what's going on out there, do we? Because we can't see.
Maybe mm-hmm. there's a bear coming to eat the blanket.
Mm-hmm. Could be. You think we'd be safe from the bear in here? No bears. Well, it is fun sometimes to do this like this, but the problem is that we can't see what's going on out there, can we? We can't see if anybody needs our help. No, we can't see. Yeah, we have to stick our head outside like that. Exactly, if we want to see. Yeah. Now we can see, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That is why God tells us to go towards the light so that we can see. Because while it's fun to be under there for a little while, it's good to be able to see what's happening around us, isn't it? Yeah. Okay. That is it. You guys want to pray a little bit with me? You close your eyes? Just a little bit, Jack. Close your eyes. God, thank you for giving us both dark places and light places. And for helping us move towards the light so that we can see what's going on in the world around us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Our message today will be presented by Ray Keene, who's the executive director of the Canby Center. Probably a familiar name and face to many of you, maybe most of you. I've been on the board of the Canby Center for a number of years, starting with when Ronnell Warner was the director. And the gift that I received during that time was Ronnell's way of opening my eyes to the needs around me and seeing the people in need as people, getting to know them or interacting with them on a personal level. That was a great gift to me. And when Ronnell left, I experienced anxiety. Would we find somebody else as a board, find somebody else to carry on this theme? And then Tim Lesher came to us, and many of you got to know Tim and the wonderful gift that Tim had. During that time, maybe partially related to the unrest with Ronnell's leaving and maybe from other issues, some of the pastors in Canby weren't getting along with each other that well. And Tim slowly and methodically brought those people together. And by the time Tim left, there was a good, solid base of pastors working together for common interest. And then Tim left. So it was anxiety time again. Would we find somebody else? And my goodness, I got to be involved in the search process, and there were a number of good candidates, but one stood out, and that happens to be him. And Ray has taken us places that we never dreamed of going. Related to Ray's sermon today, there's too many Ray words. Related to his sermon or message today on the spirit of generosity, during the time that I've worked with Ray, I've gotten involved more and more in gathering resources to share with the community. And you can't believe the abundance that's out there. I mean, we're talking about truckloads of bread, vegetables, fruit. Every day, every week, there's something new to share with the community. Clothing, it comes in by the truckload, barrel full, and is sorted through, and we have what's known as Nordstrom's Annex. Is that what it's called? Nordstrom's Annex there at Canby. A beautiful display of clothing that's available to community members in need. And it goes on and on. All kinds of, there's plenty out there. It's just a matter of getting it, recognizing the people in need and making it available. So we're anxious to hear your presentation today.
Thank you, Doug. It's good to be with you. I want to share just briefly an update on the Canby Center. There is a lot to celebrate. God is so good. He blesses us. He has blessed the Canby Center over the last 10 years. You know, March 2008, the Canby Center really began its service. And so 10 years ago, this month, that work began, and it has grown. Just one of the things Doug touched on, in 2016, the Canby Center redistributed 51,000 pounds of food. And in 2017, that number, this last year, grew to 118,000 pounds of food. So we were able to more than double the amount of food that we were providing in the last year. We're grateful for God's provision in that way. And just in terms of generosity, the donors who support our work at the Canby Center shared more generously in 2017 than in any year in our 10-year history. More gifts, more money in support of the work than ever before. Another piece that's been happening at the Canby Center has to do with a kitchen renewal project And I don't know why I have kind of framed it as a kitchen remodel, because it's so much bigger than that. The more we get into it, I realize, you know, this is really going to change the whole place, because we are working on expanding the kitchen, which will allow us to serve the public meals in a way that is certified and legal, and in a way that it builds relationship and strengthens that. But we're also working on things like changing the lighting throughout the Canby Center and painting all the walls. There's so many parts that go into it, and it just has been amazing to watch the Lord provide for this process. I think when we began to first consider what it would take to get that done, it was a project that looked like it might be about $30,000. Well, it's grown. If you've ever done a remodel, you know they tend to grow. This one has grown. And, you know, we had a target to try and raise about $160,000 for the project to be able to renew the center. And about a month ago, I remember looking at that and feeling a little bit daunted by it. God had provided about $126,000 in support for the project so far, but we had a ways to go, about $34,000 left to raise in order to get to the finish line. And I remember setting up an appointment. Some donors who had given to the kitchen project wanted to come by and see how it was going. So we walked through and I showed them the walls that were going to be going up and the different parts, and it was pretty messy at that point. And we walked through and looked, and then we sat down together, and they asked how much was needed to finish out the project, and I said about $34,000, but we're trusting God that He'll provide that in the coming months. And they said to me, "Ray, we would like to finish that out for you." Can you imagine the generosity and the blessing of that? The way that that just was overwhelming to me. I think I cried. And then they said, "You know, when you were at our church recently, you talked about needing a van. Let's talk about that too." We do need a van to help us transport food. God is providing more and more food for people in need in our community, and a van would really help with that in Oregon, to be able to close off the environment, to not have to tarp over pallets of food as they come in, to be able to just put those into a tall van would be amazing. And so they asked how much that would cost, and I shared that with them. Well, when they sent their gift for the kitchen project, they also sent along a very nice gift to help us get a start on a van. And so now with just about $18,000 left to go in fundraising, we will, Lord willing, be able to purchase a new van to be able to help us with the food distribution portion of our work. I'm grateful for that. It's worth celebrating. There's one last piece I want to celebrate with you, and it's something God's been doing that's really special. One of the things that is close to all of us at the Canby Center in terms of our hearts and our passion is young people. And about a year and a half ago, we started a program called Reading Mentors, because we were noticing in conversations with the school district in Canby that some of our young people were being missed in terms of literacy. In particular, if a child was coming from an impoverished home or a home that was Latino or with other challenges in the mix, some of those kids were struggling quite significantly with their reading skills. And we know that one of the most important ways to learn is to develop a passion early on for reading. So we started this program called Reading Mentors, and we did a pilot year at Knight Elementary School. And in that first year, we watched as those kids who were participating in the program made great strides on their reading goals. Each of the kids has an individualized reading plan. And those kids who were a part of the program really exceeded their goals. They did very, very well. And in year two, the year we're in now, this school year, we've taken that program and we've moved it from Knight Elementary School to also include Lee and Trost and Eccles Elementary. So we're in four schools now in the Canby School District. And our prayer is that next year we would also be able to add 91 School and Karis Elementary. So just asking if you would pray for that with us. We're talking with some key foundations in the Northwest who might be able to help us take that step. As a part of the program, volunteers just like yourselves can read with a child 1 hour a week in the school and help to encourage and pass along a love of reading. Every month, each child who's a part of the Reading Mentors program also gets a free book to take home to build their personal library at home, so that when the year is over, they've got 10 or 11 books at home that they have grown to love as well. So please pray for us with that. Pray about your own participation in that. Perhaps next fall, some of you here would like to be a reading mentor at 91 School, and that would be just delightful. Okay, that's my update on the Canby Center. I'm super excited about what's taking place there. I want to share with you about the generosity of God this morning. And I know that that may set off all kinds of little alarms and flags in your mind. You may be thinking, well, Ray was just talking about fundraising. And here he is up front and he wants to tell us about God's generosity. Why is that important to me? There are many reasons, but one story reaches back early into my young adulthood when I was living in Hawaii and God had called me there and was using me there in some wonderful ways. But one of the things he was asking me to do next was to go through a DTS, a discipleship training school with YWAM. And I, as a part of that, was going to go on a missions trip to Tonga and Samoa. Well, the time for raising support to go on the missions trip had come and gone, and I was still short in terms of the funds needed. And I watched as the rest of the young people on my team prepared to go to Tonga first. And they got on the plane and they left, and I stayed behind, prayerfully asking the Lord to provide the resources needed to go. And I watched as God did that, as he provided the blessing for that. And about a week later, I joined my team in Tonga. And when I was there, I met a pastor, Pastor Apolosi Finau. He lives on a small island out in the South Pacific. And he was filled with joy, filled with gratitude. Most of the people in his congregation, many of them didn't have a roof over their home. If we were in his church, you'd be sitting on the concrete right now. And I remember as they were leading worship at one point, the guitar that was there had a couple strings that didn't function anymore because they'd broken some time ago. Maybe the salt air had kind of worn them out. But there was joy in their hearts. So when I came back to the United States after that trip and God had provided some money I wasn't expecting, I prayerfully was thinking about, God, what should I do with this? I feel like some of this needs to go to help people in need. And Pastor Apolosi came to mind, and I did not know how to send money to Tonga. So I just prayed. I didn't know what else to do, and I took about $500 in cash, and I put it in an envelope and kind of wrapped it up and put an address and a stamp on it, and I sent it to Tonga. And about 3 or 4 months later, I got the most delightful letter back from Pastor Apolosi talking about how he had used some of that money to buy instruments for the people in the church. What a delight. What a joy it is to join God in his generosity, to notice what it is that he's doing and then figure out how we can participate with him in that. For the last 14 years, part of my job has been to help raise funds for nonprofits. And by God's grace and with participation on teams of people who are really gifted and wonderful, I've had the blessing of being able to help raise about $27 million for various nonprofits around North America. God has allowed me to meet some amazing people. Some people who are generous, oftentimes even beyond their means. Some of them are even here in the room today. And it's been quite a journey because you see all kinds of different things. I remember watching a couple joyfully give away over $100,000 in gold coins. I went to their home and picked up these gold coins that they wanted to turn into scholarships for young teachers. It's beautiful. to watch that happen. I've seen generosity spread from person to person and from generation to generation. Generosity is one of those things that it's difficult to describe completely, kind of like being under the blanket a little bit. Sometimes we're a little bit in a fog, and in our culture, maybe that's true in other cultures too, but in our culture we have all kinds of baggage that goes along with it, and different perspectives, and different motivations for giving. In their book, The Seven Faces of Philanthropy, authors Prince and File share about seven basic motivations they've kind of summarized for reasons why people give. Yes, you might resonate with a couple of these. First one is what they call communitarians, people for whom being generous or doing good just makes sense. I want to do good because it just makes sense, people would say. They have another category they call the devout. It's probably many of us in the room, I guess, where doing good is God's will. They talk about the investor, doing good is good business. Or the socialite, doing good is fun. Maybe going to an event or doing things together with other people. The altruist, doing good feels right. The repayer, doing good in return. And the dynast, doing good is a family tradition. Now, you may or may not resonate with some of those motivations, but all of us have a very concrete, very real, very important reason that we give at all, and that is that God is first and foremost the greatest giver. He is the one who gave a spark to all generosity. Let me explain what I mean. Just thinking through the book of Genesis for a minute. In Genesis chapter 1, God generously creates the universe. And it is so big that we have struggled to find its edges. Galaxies extend as far as we can detect with no sign of diminishing. There's no evidence that the universe even has an edge. The part of the universe we can observe from Earth is filled more or less uniformly with galaxies extending in every direction as far as we can see, more than 10 billion light years. And when astronomers sometimes carelessly refer to galaxies near the edge of the universe, they're simply referring to the edge of the universe that we can see. We can't see farther. God is generous in creation. Genesis chapter 2, God makes man and gives him good work to do. And God is incredibly generous when he makes woman for man. Genesis 4, God gives the first children, Cain and Abel. And Eve says, "With the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man." Genesis 6, at this point, it takes just about four chapters until man's wickedness grieves God, except for one, Noah. And God gives to Noah and his family plans for a massive lifeboat. God is generous. Genesis 21, God gives a child to Sarah. When she's old and worn out, and she laughs, and ultimately her laughter turns to joy as Isaac is born. In Genesis 22, God provides a solution to Abraham's test. You'll remember the ram in the thicket when he's going to sacrifice Isaac. Genesis 24, God, it says, blessed Abraham in every way. In Genesis 37, God caused Joseph to prosper even while he is a slave and in prison, and when he is second in command of all Egypt. Now, that's just the book of Genesis. If we were to continue on as we look at the book of Exodus, the more the Israelites, it says, the more that the Israelites were oppressed in Egypt, the more they multiplied and spread. God caused them to grow. God guides the Israelites out of Egypt and gives them the wealth of Egypt along the way. They plundered Egypt as they left, it says, and God provided for the nation. God provides for them water, manna, and quail in the desert. We just read about that this morning. God met their physical and tangible needs. And in Exodus 34, there's a passage that I love that just talks about who God is. It's really the first look that we have, or the first description that we get in the Bible of who God says that he is. And Moses says to the Lord, "Show me your glory." And so you'll remember the Lord takes Moses, hides him in a rock, and passes by. And it says, as he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, "The Lord, the Lord, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation." God is just, and yet he is loving. And, you know, unlike my love, which is quite limited, it says that he abounds in loving kindness. God is not simply patient with us. He's slow to anger. His nature, his character is generous in the core of who he is. When he wanted to describe who he was, he leads with this word, compassionate and gracious. He's the compassionate and gracious God. That is his character. Now, those of us who are still breathing air, walking on this earth, are here for a reason. Sometimes it's difficult to sort out what that reason is. But I think one of the most essential parts of that is that God is working out in us his character. He's imparting to us in this time a bit of who he is. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. These are the fruit of the Spirit. That is God's nature. Who he is, he imparts that into our lives. It's a lot like my own raising of our kids at home. Rachel and I have three children at home. One of them is almost headed out. We also have a fourth right now from Belgium, an exchange student. And one of the things that is most prevalent, most key to this time of my life is, as a father, investing the good parts of my life into my children, teaching them about the things that matter, teaching them what it looks like to show kindness to other people, teaching them what it looks like to serve and to love, to work hard, to enjoy God. That's a part of what I'm doing with my children in these years. As long as they're under my roof and beyond, that's what I'm going to do with my kids. It's what I was meant to do. And in a similar way, I think God does that with us here on earth. He is imparting to us his character. He is generous. And so he passes on generosity to us. Now, this is a very generous church. Just this week, on probably the rainiest day, and during probably the three most rainy hours of the week, there were several men who came out to move about 10,000 pounds of concrete that we pulled out of our kitchen remodel project. Doug helped lead the way out there with a tractor. It was a huge, huge blessing. This church has been generous financially and with acts of service. And so when I encourage you to consider the generosity of God, I know you're waiting for the punchline. Well, you know, are we supposed to ramp up our generosity or something? I don't think that's really what I'm sharing with you today. I simply want you to be capturing the heart of God and understanding God. who he is. In sort of a theological framework, if you're one of those folks who likes to think in that way, maybe sort of with an intentional framework or thinking through, well, how and in what ways is God generous to us? We touched on a couple biblical books, but, you know, there's a passage in Ephesians that says God is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine. That's a lot. So when we touch on the generosity of God, I just want you to understand that it is, first and foremost, it's boundless. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. It overflows from his character, as we just touched on in Exodus 34. God's generosity is evident in creation. Psalm 65 speaks to God's blessing and generosity through creation. All we have to do is go outside on the grass and look up in the sky today to realize that God is generous to us in creation. God's generosity is experienced in his provision for our needs. And not simply ours, but even nature around us. There's a passage in Job that I love that says, "Who cuts a channel for the torrents of rain to water a desolate wasteland where no one lives, to make it sprout with grass?" God does that. Even where we can't see, he is abundantly generous. His generosity is also experienced in justification. We've talked about that today. In his mercy to sinners, 1 John chapter 3. In his redemption and reconciliation of us to him, 1 Peter chapter 1. In his gift of eternal life, John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son so that we might have eternal life. God's generosity is not just experienced in justification, but also in sanctification. John chapter 17 speaks to that. And it's experienced in glorification. What we have to look forward to in the eternal life in heaven is indescribable. 1 Corinthians 15 touches on it. But God is generous. Jesus said, "I'm going to prepare a place for you." And I cannot even grasp what that means or what that will be like. God's generosity is expressed in the gift of his Holy Spirit in giving us wisdom, as described in John 3. Comfort and strength from James 1 and encouragement, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. The Holy Spirit is a present help to us in generous ways. Even when we're in rebellion, the moment we turn and face the Lord and ask for his help, the Holy Spirit enlivens us and brings life and light again. God's generosity is manifested in his eternal provision. Hebrews 10 touches on that, on the inheritance that is ours and eternal reward that we can look forward to. Revelation chapter 21 touches on that. God's generosity permeates his character. It's almost like it's a way of describing each of his characteristics. He is boundless in his generosity. Now, none of us has ever earned his generosity. It's a gift, right? It's something he gives freely. I think there are times where we can see people who wrestle with that. You look at the Jews who could not believe that the Gentiles could receive the same salvation as their own. And in response, Jesus tells this story, Matthew chapter 20. He says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire men to work in his hazelnut orchard. He agreed to pay them a day's wage, about $100 for the day, and he sent them out into his orchard. About the third hour, he went out and saw others standing on the street corner doing nothing, and he told them, "You also go and work in my orchard, and I'll pay you whatever is right." So they went. He went out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour and did the same thing. About the 11th hour, he went out and found still others standing around, and he asked them, "Why have you been standing here all day doing nothing?" "Because no one has hired us," they answered. He said to them, "You also go and work in my orchard." When the evening came, the owner of the orchard said to his foreman, "Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going to the first." The workers who were hired about the 11th hour came and each received $100. So when those came who were hired first, they expected to receive more. But each one of them also received $100. And when they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. "These men who were hired last worked only 1 hour," they said, "and you've made them equal to us who borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day. It's not fair." But he answered one of them and said, "Friend, I'm not being unfair to you. Didn't you agree to work for $100? Take your pay and go. I want to give the man who was hired last the same as I gave to you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous?" So the last will be first and the first will be last, Jesus said. You ever known someone who felt that life was unfair, that God somehow withheld their fair share? Sometimes people can focus on what they don't have rather than being grateful for what they do have. So when we think about God's generosity, sometimes like this parable, this story that Jesus tells, it just doesn't quite add up the way we expect it to. God's generosity doesn't quite always make sense. Why does someone get blessed and prosper when they are wicked? When they're doing things they really shouldn't be doing? Why does God allow for that? What I know is He's incredibly patient. He is boundlessly loving. And when I do wickedness, He pursues me and hunts me down. So what difference does it make at all that God is generous? So as His children, He's imparting His character to us. And His generosity is one of those, I think, most important characteristics of who God is. And for a person who is wealthy, it may be at the very top of the list. As children of God, we need to watch for and learn from God's generosity. You'll remember a rich young man who came to Jesus and wanted to know what he could do to inherit eternal life. Remember that conversation? And Jesus said, "Well, keep the commandments." And the young man said, "Well, I've done that since I was a young boy." And so, you know, that process, that wrestling with what is it that I'm supposed to do? "Well, I've done my part," the young man thought. And Jesus said to him, "I'll tell you what, why don't you sell all that you've got and give it away to the poor?" And the young man went away very sad because he was quite wealthy. Now, I'm not saying that God is saying to all of us, because He certainly didn't say to all of those in Scripture or all the people that Jesus has encountered, especially the wealthy, He didn't say to each of them, "Give everything away." But to that one, He did. And I think He was trying to communicate something about the nature of God. For that young man, there were strings that wealth had that were attached to his soul. And those needed to be cut. And if money has a tie on your soul, I would be the first to tell you, maybe not the first to tell you, but I would just add to what Jesus says and say, maybe it's good through generosity to cut some of those strings. and to be free from that. Now, all of us in this room are rich. As Americans, we live in the wealthiest country in the world at a time in history that is the wealthiest the world has ever known. Any of us can get in a car, and within about 30 minutes, we can select from a multitude of options of food to eat. If we go to the grocery store, we can stand in front of an aisle filled with cereal choices. If we need medical attention, within about 30 minutes, we can be at the hospital of our choice, filled with medical professionals who will care for us. We have many, many blessings, even many blessings that the rest of the world doesn't enjoy. We are wealthy. Jesus said, "It is hard for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God. It's easier to put a camel through a needle's eye than it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." Now, it says that when that conversation took place, that the disciples were amazed. And I'm not sure that's a great description, but you can read between the lines. They did not understand what Jesus had just said. They were kind of undone by that. Well, if the rich can't be saved, then who? Who can be saved? And Jesus' response is essentially, by man's measure, this is not possible. But by God's generosity, by his measure, all things are possible. And so when we think about our own response of generosity and what God is working out in us, I simply want to call you to walk in, to live in the generosity that God has already shown you. To live that out. To the rich young ruler who came to Jesus, Jesus was simply calling him to come into contact with the God that he was claiming to want to spend eternity with. You want to spend eternity with God? What does it look like to do that? Well, this is the way God is. He is generous. You can be likewise. I want to close with one last passage here. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. There's a section that says, "Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give only what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver." I think that's because God is a cheerful giver. "And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge your harvest of righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." I get to see that in my work. Just this last week, I think about the man who stopped in and grabbed me again and looked me in the eyes and said, "Thank you for the food today." He's grateful, and he would say that to those of you who have been a part of bringing that food to the Canby Center. So thank you for being a part of that. God's generosity inspires and motivates and moves us to be like him. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, both now and forever. Amen.
Thank you, Ray, for those words this morning. Would you please turn in the blue hymnal to number 589? 589.
My shepherd will supply my need, Jehovah is his name. In pastures fresh he makes me feed, beside the living stream. He brings my wandering spirit back when I forsake his ways, and leads me for his
We can share with each other this morning those things that have given you joy and satisfaction, what you have heard, what you've shared with others, and the things that may lie heavy upon your heart. And so if you would raise your hand and want to share at this time, we'll see that you have a mic. Thank you, Ray, for reminding us again of how generous God is. Always so generous.
Well, this is Chris Cady, and I would ask for prayers for everyone that was involved with the Cinderella production this year. It closed last night. We had wonderful audiences, but it was a very demanding, intricate show, and I think everybody involved, from the adults to the students, is exhausted. The last couple weeks, it was a difficult production. The drama teacher and coach resigned in December, and her last day will be this next Friday. So a lot of the kids are feeling lost, that the room they went to after school, the woman that they attached to, is leaving very suddenly. It's finals week this week, and we're all exhausted. And just so many of the students are struggling with so many things. It's been a blessing to be there. But just a few, the girl that was so exhausted last night, she was sharing her thoughts of suicide with the entire cast. A young boy, one of the freshman boys that was here 2 weeks ago that sang with the boys' choir, came to me during one of the matinees and said, "Mrs. Katie, who do I talk to if I've just been assaulted at McDonald's?" The boy that was thrown out back during quilting workshop, his dad threw him out of the house and then reported him as a runaway to the police. This is one of our cast members that when he showed up back at rehearsal 2 days later, I said, "I've been so worried about you." And he said, "Oh, it's okay." And accepted my hug and my sharing of my fear. The new theater technician in the middle of the show, our new theater technician showed up to last night during the intermission when one of the orchestra girls had a petite mal seizure on the stage behind the curtain, to be the one there holding her hand and saying, "Honey, you're okay. I know you can hear me." It's just been exhausting, and I know all of the kids were part of all of this undercurrent of drama. So prayers for everyone involved that they can get the rest they need to face their finals this week and get back to normal life. It's been a rough haul.
Thank you, Chris. Anyone else? Let's pray. Compassionate and merciful, generous, loving God, we know our need, and we know we need to rely on you as we prayed in our prayer earlier in this service. May we always be reminded, and may we call upon you and those around us, Lord. They are your presence to us. We know in our lives times that are difficult, whether it's health that causes the struggle, whether it's the loss of ones that are dear through death, whether it is a loss of security. May we be your presence. May we have your sense of compassion as well. As Chris has reminded us of the struggles of youth, and as we've known through the past months, young people in this area who have felt they could no longer do this, we remember their families, and we remember these that Chris has named and their specific struggle. And I thank you, Lord, for Chris being there and her presence among them. You are generous in that place. We know a nation and our communities that have struggled with division, with different thoughts, with different ways of seeing and doing. And sometimes we find ourselves just encamped within those circles. Help us to know how to open up the circle and to take your bravery, the courage of God, into these places. As we remember your generosity beyond our imagination, beyond anything that we have ever been able to think, help us to reach for that. And by your Spirit, we will be your people. And all of these things that we know that are among us and around us, and then we can be your people who are full of joy because we know your generosity. And to this end we pray, because of Christ. Amen.
Please stand for our final song and then remain standing for the benediction. We're going to sing the first verse of 425. Come, come, ye saints.
Come, come, ye saints, no toil nor labor fear, but with joy wend your way. Though hard to you the journey may appear, grace shall be as your day. We have a living Lord to guide, and we can trust him to provide. Do this and
thank you, Ray, for being with us today and for sharing that benediction, that familiar benediction. And I invite all of you now to enjoy sharing a benediction to each other together. There it is. Take a moment to look at it before we read together. Let us share. We are people of God. We go in God's love to extend God's love and live God's promise. Thanks for being here.